The business news of the nation, region, and the greater Des Moines Metro made possible through the support of Creamer Law Firm. Business law and estate planning, visit creamerlaw.com. And AARP of Iowa, real possibilities for our community and our citizens, no matter the age, aarp.org.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. Grateful that you guys are hanging out with us on your ride home this afternoon. With us in studio is Charles Gansky, and Charles has an interesting history. He's a jeweler by trade, and he comes by that through an interesting route. And we're going to talk about the business of jewelry, why that's important, how it is so, well, personal, if you will, and what he's been doing over the last couple of years, and now what he's doing. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our Business News Hour, Charles Gansky. Charles, welcome. Good to see you.
Hi, thank you for having me, Michael.
You know, obviously, the name is very familiar with people. When you walked in the studio, we have not met before. We've talked on the telephone, but I have seen your photograph. I said, this guy looks a little bit like another guy I know by the name of Gansky, who is a physician and also a former congressman. That would be Greg, right?
Right. Greg's my oldest brother.
Very nice.
I thought you might have been referring to my background as a male model.
That was it.
Right. I thought, and, you know, I got tired of the life in Milan,
you know,
and the yachts and the...
And walking down that runway and that
it
whole
thing. It is tiresome. Eventually, you've consumed enough champagne and hung out with enough supermodels.
Exactly. Yeah, it's tough all the way around. Well, tell us about the jewelry business. You spent a lifetime, so to speak, doing this.
I have.
Why? What's the draw? What is the cool thing about this?
Well, I've thought about this because I've pursued a path that's a little bit different, and I've wondered myself, how did I arrive at this?
Right.
So I love women.
Yeah, well, right. Yeah, we're in the right room.
Perfect. And I recognized as a young man that no gift I gave a woman had the same emotional impact as a piece of jewelry.
There you go.
It became a truism for me. I recognized it as a teenager. And so that was something I internalized. Later, it must have been fate, but inevitably, I chanced into the jewelry trade as a job, which became a career, which became a lifelong passion. So I think with roots in something that was impactful for women,
mm-hmm.
it morphed into, for me, an all-consuming passion for a trade. You know, there's... there are things that I find interesting and that I am drawn to. Luxury, glamour, art and art history, science.
And all of those things are in the jewelry trade.
You're right. If you drew lines where they intersect, where art and glamour and sex appeal and history and romance and tradition all intersect, it's jewelry.
Yeah.
So this one medium for me was the combination of all these different things that I found appealing.
Very interesting. You know, I don't think many people would think of it in that way. You know, we're kind of used to just going and looking and buying and doing, you know. But when you come at it from the creator's standpoint, that becomes very personal.
It's very – there's nothing more personal than jewelry. It's worn on us.
Right.
Often symbolizes something important in our life, either a gift or a benchmark success. So jewelry becomes way more impactful emotionally than just metals and stones.
And it's also something outside of other things that can deteriorate, oftentimes can be passed down generation to generation to generation.
Well-made jewelry is, I mean, it sounds cliche, but it's very much true. It's timeless. Literally, I think of jewelry sort of the way Europeans use the term investment.
Mm-hmm.
I know this is a business show, so I want to clarify. I'm not talking about investment in a financial tool sense where you purchase something and you sell it for a certain rate of return. That's not what I mean. What I mean is jewelry can be an investment the way a chateau can be an investment. Someone at some point decides to commit resources to owning something that then becomes permanent, and it becomes a part of that family's or their legacy. And so an investment was made in this land, an investment was made in this property, an investment was made in this piece of jewelry generations ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I view the investment aspect of jewelry.
Interesting stuff. We're talking with Charles Gansky, ladies and gentlemen. He is a personal jeweler and who has had a rather interesting past 1 year, because you have been doing this for a long time. Since when?
Right. I started in the jewelry business in 1992.
All right. So for several years. And
right.
you were in the retail side of jewelry companies.
Right? I was a director for a jewelry retail company.
Mm-hmm.
For 18 years.
Wow.
9 years ago, I became somewhat disillusioned with that approach. Or I should say, I found what I thought would be a better way to serve my clients. So I went out on my own as a jewelry retailer, but on a by appointment only basis.
Got it.
Working with clients very personally out of an office setting, either doing custom jewelry design or sourcing for them what they want and need, but doing it one-on-one. By appointment out of an office.
Got it. And?
And I, knock on wood, it went well enough, and word spread that in recent years I was in appointment all the time.
Yeah.
And my office was becoming a de facto storefront.
So?
Without the amenities of an actual storefront.
So were you working out of your home?
No.
You were working in an office space.
In an office setting.
And in that, because that was perhaps much more professional an opportunity.
Yeah, for a host of reasons, right. I wouldn't do it.
I'm sure. And then where did you create this stuff, or how did you source this? Is this through
So I have lifelong relationships with jewelry makers all over the world, friendships, and that's really how jewelry at my level works. You have friendships with vendors, and they reach out to you and vice versa, and they send you what you need. It's completely not bureaucratic. It's not contract-driven. It's relationship-driven. And I make a call to New York or to wherever, and I have what I need the next day overnight.
Oh, amazing.
Now, if I need to make something, I'm designing it usually on a computer, and then I'm sending that computer file to a casting company. I don't craft things with my own hand. I have no dexterity, skill, or patience.
Got it. And so that then goes to a producer. You oversee the production
Correct.
Of that particular piece of jewelry.
That's exactly right.
And then go ahead and deliver.
Precisely.
You've taken another turn over the past couple of weeks as well. You've
right.
gone from an office setting to back to brick and mortar, huh?
Right, of sorts.
Yeah,
I've opened a boutique-type storefront in Urbandale on 100th Street, but really serving clients central Iowa, and about a third of my clients are interstate. So that's no different. But out of my office, I was working with clients mostly all day. But like I said, without the amenities that you would want in a stylish or amenable storefront.
Sure.
So I've decided to create a hybrid approach. I've opened a brick-and-mortar store with a beautiful curated inventory. But limited inventory,
mm-hmm.
and not a
That's part of the success. Isn't it?
Is a great part of the success,
right.
Because I mean, I can be more
nimble. If you got something everybody else has got, why come to you?
Right. And the other thing is, when you're beholden to a huge amount of payables on a large inventory, that client comes to you and they might have something specific in mind. Well, your natural incentive is to want to push what you've already got
because you got inventory. Because
you've got inventory and payables.
Yeah.
In my world, we're going to sit down and talk. If I don't have the right thing for you, we're going to, through a series of working together, determine what that is, and then I'll either make it or get it for you. It's much more nimble, and it's a 21st century approach.
Not only that, Charles, but if you're already dealing in the personalization, as you've well articulated, how personal jewelry can be, how much better it is to be able to sit across a table or on a couch and really talk about what it is that you're customers
well,
want.
I hope so. I mean, that's what my clients
that's
tell
idea.
Me.
That's the idea. That is
the idea. If someone prefers a clerk model where you peruse a lot of, you know, inventory in cases and you get clerked by whomever happens to help you that day, if that's what you're seeking out, then that's fantastic. I'm probably not the right professional for you.
Got it. His name is Charles Gansky, ladies and gentlemen. Charles Gansky Jewelers. Where? How do you give us a snapshot of your customer base? Who would be the people that seek you out?
Well, I could give you some demographic information, ages and so on, but I would start with the psychographic. Okay, my clients universally want to deal directly with the professional. They want a little more interactive approach. They want someone who's curating and working with them the way a custom tailor would work with them or an architect who's going to be building their home. They don't want the anonymous vending machine approach of a big box merchant. So that's the first differentiating thing. I have clients, you know, from a demographic perspective, all over the board, all ages. I help younger bridal clients, typically people in their late 20s, early 30s. I have a significant client base aged 50 to 65. They are comfortable in their careers. Their kids may be out of college. That expense might be behind them. And they're ready to enjoy some finer things in life before they retire. But I really have clients of all ages.
What kinds of trends are you seeing in the jewelry industry today?
Well, the overwhelming trend is a desire for customization.
Something that's not
something that's either made specifically for them or tweaked and modified and adjusted to represent their unique tastes. So either fully bespoke or customized. That's a tremendous
surge. Well, it's a trend in all kinds of verticals, as a matter of
fact.
This whole
that's
idea,
not unique to jewelry.
No, it's not. And what you just articulated is exactly what we're seeing in many verticals where individuals are, well, they want some recognition that they are, that they matter, that they're a customer, and the big box, you know, is not necessarily what I want. I really want to have something that I have taken part in, and right. You know me, I know you, and yeah,
they are seeking out the experience of creating something unique to them or modified for them. So that's overwhelming. And then on a more, you know, daily level, styles are always evolving. Lots of layering of longer necklaces, lots of stacking, lots of combining of, I guess I would say, combining of different elements.
Materials,
in a way,
huh?
Materials and designs
yeah.
in such a way to be intentionally complementary but not matching.
Colors? I mean, other than diamonds.
Yeah. Well, you know, Pantone releases its color of the year each year, and for 2018, it's a purple. You know, lots of rose in metals, lots of rose golds. Lots and lots of rose gold.
Now, was it titanium rings that were making a big splash some time ago?
Right.
Are those
so
still
So what
hot?
You're referring to is our alternative metals.
Right.
Usually used in wedding bands.
Yes.
They became popular when gold and precious metals went so high just a few years back. So they were an inexpensive alternative to traditional precious metals. There's a lot of drawbacks. These contemporary metals usually can't be sized, so they're not adjustable. It's really not something that my clientele is seeking out because they're looking for a more traditional, intrinsically valuable, timeless sort of thing.
His name, ladies and gentlemen, is Charles Gansky, and I want to say a thank you to our mutual friend, Sam Creamer, for putting us together on
Sam
this.
Sam is fantastic.
Yeah, he is a fantastic guy. He's a long-term sponsor of the Business News Hour, and he reached out to us and said, you got to get to know this guy. He's great. So welcome.
That's kind of him. Thank you.
Thank you very much for being with us. It is called Charles Gansky Jewelers, and we will have links to his website and where you can find him all up on the radio blog. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
All right, we've got to step aside, find out what happened today on Wall Street. Where did the markets go? We will tell you all of that and more next. Here on the Business News Hour.
Jesse is a friend. Yeah, I know he's been a good friend of mine.